Russia is on the path to oblivion, according to the European Commission president, who today vowed not to ease economic sanctions. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. It was a sea of blue and yellow filling the seats of the European Parliament in Strasbourg, France today. At the podium was Ursula von der Leyen, president of the European Commission. And as she delivered her annual State of the Union address, her sartorial message clearly matched her words. Europe stands with Ukraine. With the country's first lady in attendance, Ms. von der Leyen stressed the EU's resolve to ensure Russian President Vladimir Putin fails in his war in Ukraine. And she promised the sanctions, which have squeezed Russian businesses and supply chains, are here to stay.
Russia's financial sector is on life support. The Russian military is taking chips from dishwashers and refrigerators to fix their military hardware because there are no semiconductors anymore. Russia's industry is in tatters.
It's not just Russia, though. The West and its allies have not been immune to the economic consequences of the war. Gas prices have surged 10 times pre-pandemic levels due to a supply crunch, and that's helped send inflation soaring across the European region. Ms. von der Leyen today then unveiled a series of measures to ease the pain of soaring prices. The BBC's Jessica Parker was in the Parliament today and explains what those proposals include.
Three principal kind of more immediate policies, which include what is essentially a windfall tax on fossil fuel companies, skimming the profits of lower carbon electricity producers, who the European Commission says has been making sort of excess profits despite not depending on gas to make their electricity, and redistributing the money to households and businesses across Europe. The other topic as well is reducing electricity consumption. Now, she didn't outline specifics on that, but the draft proposals I saw most recently were reducing electricity consumption by at least 5% during peak hours.
The thing that was missing, though, is a cap on gas prices. There's been a lot of discussion about that.
Ultimately, that's something that member states have been discussing at ambassador level and then at ministerial level last Friday. What seems to have happened, because it was on the table on Friday when they were discussing these various option energy ministers, I think various member states were in different places, can we say, on that issue. So some quite keen to not just cap Russian gas, but all gas imports. Others feeling that's actually a really terrible idea, that it could put security of supply at risk. And officials I've been speaking to, they say the idea is still there, it's still being worked on, it might make a reappearance, but they acknowledge there's more work to do in order to get member states kind of comfortable around the detail and potentially agree. But it's certainly not definite yet that that plan could go ahead in terms of capping gas prices. And indeed, these proposals that the European Commission president has outlined today, they are still in the form of proposals. We have an energy ministers meeting now in another 2 weeks' time, the end of September, where they're hoping to get at least these kind of three main measures across the line in some sort of form. But there'll be some frantic negotiations, I think, over the next couple of weeks as well.
Jessica Parker for us. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
No problem.
Checking the numbers now, a sell-off on Wall Street yesterday, sparked by an unexpected rise in inflation last month, has spread to stock markets across Asia today. Japan's Nikkei and Hong Kong's Hang Seng dropped about 2.5%. The safe haven Japanese yen currency rallied against the dollar. That's after early reports the Bank of Japan will step in to prop up the currency, which has sunk to a 24-year low. European benchmarks, meanwhile, are little changed this morning. London's FTSE is the biggest decliner, down 0.8% after annual inflation here eased off double digits to 9.9% last month, but is still near a 40-year high. For the next 5 days, Queen Elizabeth II, who died last week, will lie in state at Westminster Hall here in the British capital. Hundreds of people have waited through a rainy night to file through the medieval hall to pay their final respects. The Queen's funeral will be held Monday, and leaders from all over the world are expected to attend. Her death has sparked many emotions for people across the globe. For some Commonwealth countries, it's brought to the fore a conversation about the role of the British monarchy. Jamaica has, in recent years, debated removing the monarch as head of state. Now the calls for such a move have grown louder, as the BBC's Will Grant reports from the capital, Kingston.
The 21-gun salute to mark the proclamation of the new monarch reverberated around Kingston Harbour. Down the ages, the Crown and British traders made fortunes in Jamaica, trading sugar, cacao, indigo, and of course slaves through Kingston's vast natural harbour. But as the booms faded, King Charles III has ascended to the throne with Jamaica at a crossroads in its relationship with the monarchy.
But Jamaica is, as you would see, a country that is very proud.
During the then Duke and Duchess of Cambridge's visit to the island early this year, the Jamaican Prime Minister, Andrew Holness, told the heir to the throne that the country was moving on. Jamaica, he essentially said, would soon follow Barbados's lead and become a republic. With polls suggesting now more than 50% of Jamaicans support the idea, has the Queen's death accelerated that process?
The conversation starts again.
Professor Rosalia Hamilton is the coordinator for the Advocacy Network, which is pushing for constitutional reform in Jamaica. Overlooking Kingston Harbour, she says the question facing Jamaicans is simple.
Do you want a head of state, a monarch, who's not prepared to apologize, is not prepared to atone, who's not prepared to express and demonstrate regret?
Yet ties to the monarchy in Jamaica run deep. On her final visit to the island in 2002, the Queen visited a development project in Trenchtown, a low-income neighbourhood in Kingston, synonymous with Bob Marley and considered the birthplace of reggae.
Trenchtown is one of the most iconic parts of Kingston, indeed of Jamaica, and many would argue that the poverty of this particular neighbourhood is a direct result of Jamaica's colonial past.
Good to meet you. Yeah, we spoke. Good to meet you, Mr. Lincoln. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Junior Lincoln is the chairman of Boystown, a Methodist institution for at-risk youth in Trenchtown. I joined him watching a cricket match, that most colonial of sports, between Boystown and another local team, Kensington.
We have a strong democracy here, and that's one of the things that I know that the Queen was very proud of Jamaica for. But I think the younger generation don't feel like we are truly independent because we still have the Queen.
One of the young cricketers recovering from his innings in the sweltering heat was Sanjay Brown.
To me personally, it doesn't matter whether we're still under the monarch or whether we move away from it. I believe that an apology is necessary based on all of the historical errors that has happened before.
The politics here, we Jamaicans call it politrics, because they're always saying a lot of things, but they're not doing anything.
Sharika Bourne is a hairdresser in Trenchtown. She says the Queen was not the cause of the island's problems.
Jamaica is going backwards. You can barely send your kids out to school and not worry. Maybe they might not make it back. Someone kidnapped them. Food price is over the top. So I don't see removing the Queen as the head of state. What difference would it make?
It does now seem that a referendum on the issue is inevitable. Professor Rosalia Hamilton believes the result will resonate across the Commonwealth.
Do you want a head of an international organization like the Commonwealth with an unelected head? What's the value of this symbolism?
As the new head of the Commonwealth, King Charles will know that Jamaica's national conversation about its future may portend similar steps by other member states. The island, so cherished by his mother, may now become the first to step away from the monarchy under the new king.
That's the BBC's Will Grant reporting from the Jamaican capital, Kingston, there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing.
And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.